Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and glad to be with you today. Hope you're following through our series. We're doing a series called Christ Our Life Ministry Scriptural Basis, and you can look on the internet and get this little booklet. We're going to have it posted with each one of these emphases, and I think I read there's like 22 emphases that we're going to cover in this series, so we're not sure how long it's going to be yet, but this is what we love doing, so I'm sure you all are loving it too, because we're talking about God. What an awesome God we worship. Oh my goodness, I love that song. Our God is an awesome God, and it is true. And we're talking about Him, the one person in the whole universe that we worship. And we were talking about Him being creator, and there's a verse in Hebrews 12, verse 9, and it says this in Hebrews 12, 9. It says, be subject to the Father of spirits and live. So God is a creator of even of our very spirits, of our spirits. See, man is a little spirit clothed with soul, which is his personality and his likes, his dislikes, his reasoning, his thinking process, his emotional feelings, and body, in bodily form. Okay, so God created us really in his own image, because he himself is spirit. He himself is spirit, and he himself is Trinity, just like he's formed us. And I said this in John chapter 1 about that he made all things. And also in Colossians it says, and by him all things consist. I love it. I don't know what's outside of God. Nothing. Because even the unsaved, it says in Acts 17 that we live and move and have our being in God. Well, hello, they were unsaved people. They were idol worshipers. And Paul brought them the gospel. There were only two or three people that really received Christ during that time, that preaching time. But basically, he's saying, you know, we're all created in his image. Okay, but we have fallen. We have fallen. So that's why we need to be redeemed. And that's what Jesus Christ does, the second person of the Trinity. So God the Father is like mind or thought. God the Son is word. And that's what it says in John chapter 1. He's the word. And God the Spirit is the outcome of that spoken word, the outer manifestation of that spoken word. So it's thought, word, and deed. Are we not created that way? Yes, we are. Even in our fallen condition, we think a thing, we speak a thing, and then we go do it or try to accomplish it. Okay, but now in Christ, basically, let me say this though, basically, not in Christ, but in before we're saved, in the unsaved, in fallen man, basically, he's indwelt with a satanic spirit, a fallen nature, which is a satanic spirit. So it causes him to be self-serving. Me, for me, for me. Even a little baby is a me, for me, for me. I don't think there's anything more selfish than a little baby who's just for itself. So the only way I can be to serve others is through sacrificial love, is to be filled with the lover himself, Christ, in us, the only hope of glory, which is the one that indwells us and causes us to be the lovers that we're really meant to be, to express the love, you see, and we're going to see this in the next thing that we talk about. The next emphasis we talk about is man. We've been talking about God, and we've got plenty more to say about God, that he's creator, we said that. He's all powerful. We have seen that already. All powerful. You meaning that there is no power except God's power. God has the ultimate power. You might say, now wait a minute, Satan has evil power, or yes, but actually God has the final say so. How do we know? Let's look at John. This is one of my favorite verses. Look at John 19. This is Jesus before Pilate. What does Jesus say when Pilate says this to him? Because, see, The unsaved is always thinking, we're the ones in power. We're the ones in control. We're the ones in authority. We're the ones that have the might to accomplish and to say so and have things done. All right, this is Pilate's attitude towards Jesus. And he said, "Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Know you not that I have power to crucify you, and I have power to release you? I've got the authority here." And Jesus said, "Oh no. Thou could have no power at all against me, except it be given to you from above." So God Almighty, there's really only one power in the whole universe. And see, Jesus did exactly what he really expects us to do as spirit people, as spirit of faith, as spirit people that operate by faith, to know that we can see through everything that Satan is doing and all of his pseudo power, his false power. And we can say, wait a minute, you don't have any power except what's given to you from above. Now, we see that all through the Bible. And a lot of people say, no, well, wait a minute. Aren't there two powers in the universe fighting each other? No, there are not. Because Jesus Christ absolutely defeated Satan, defeated his power. The only power that Satan ever has is what we give him and what man gives him. Because he is a spirit. And he actually, it says that we are children of the devil before we're saved. So we have his own spirit. And you see, and it's self-serving. It's self for, it's me for me for me. It's not self-giving whatsoever. And so because of that, he's caused us to think that we have the authority. We have the power. Now, as spirit people in Christ, we can know, Satan, you have no power. The problem is we Christians give Satan too much power. We give him too much power. You have no power over us unless it's given to you from above. Well, wait. Think of Job. Think of I've heard people say that the book of Job is probably the first book written down in the Old Testament. And God says, the Lord says to Satan, in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Job, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, and a man that fears God and eschews evil. Have you considered, Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" So it was God Almighty that drew his attention to Satan and said, "Have you considered him? He's righteous." It says in the very first verse that he was a man of perfect, upright, and loved God, feared God, loved him, and shunned evil, you see. And so God says, but we're going to put him through my perfect man through a test. He's got to be tested, and I'm going to use Satan to do it. So God is the ultimate power, and he has the ultimate say-so about everything that happens to us. Oh, my goodness. If Jesus could say that, and it's said in the book of Job, can we not say it too, that God Almighty has the final authority? You see, we're just giving Satan too much power. He doesn't have any power. He has no power, except we give it to him. You know how we give it to him? When we fear, we're fearing this and we're fearing that. Okay, when the children of Israel came up to their problem crossing the Jordan River, and they looked into the promised land, it was filled with giants. So their circumstances and the people that they had to face were so much bigger than who they were, they thought. But God had promised he was with them. So they were in fear, and they wanted to run, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. So you see, fear is one of the ways we give Satan power. And do you know what God says about them? This rebellious people, they will not believe me. They will believe their circumstances is greater than I am. They will believe that the problems they face daily are greater than I am. You see, he actually says that you're in whoredom when you do that, and you're rebelling against God Almighty when your circumstances are greater than him. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to deny our circumstances. We certainly say what they are. But do we give them power, or do we give God Almighty power? I knew a person one time, very dear to my heart, and he was hooked on cocaine, and he couldn't free himself, but he was a Christian. I knew he was a Christian. And I said, God, And my decision was that cocaine greater than God Almighty and God's delivering power and God's keeping power? I'm not going to believe it. I'm going to believe that God is greater. And do you know what I thought? I thought, you know, cocaine is really a plant. Now, Adam, the first man, had dominion over all the vegetation, all the plants of the earth. And through Christ, who is called the second Adam, or the last Adam, who lives in us and who lived in my son, has to be greater than that plant. And I'm saying that plant cannot have power over him. I'm saying Jesus Christ has power over him. You see, when we pray, we don't pray with authority because we don't know that God is greater than our circumstances, greater than the little. And was that a big problem? Did that cause me to suffer? You better believe it did. But I want to tell you, when God Almighty pointed out to me that a plant could not have dominion over my friend's body, who I love this person. I loved him with all my heart. And I stood by faith as an intercessor. God delivered him. And he is a great man of faith today. I would send him to any of you all. You will be blessed by his testimony. But that's just to say that God Almighty is all powerful. And we're only giving Satan all kinds of power. Let's turn to Daniel, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. Now we say that most Christians don't even know as much as Nebuchadnezzar. Well, who is Nebuchadnezzar? Wasn't he king of or emperor of Iraq? Yes, he was. Of Babylon? Yes, he was. What? Didn't Saddam Hussein in his coin have his picture put on one side and Nebuchadnezzar's picture put on the other side? And I'm saying that most Christians don't even know as much as Nebuchadnezzar? What am I saying? Look in chapter 4. King of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, says this one day to himself and to whoever was there listening to him. He said this, I have built, it says, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my own power and for the honor of my majesty? Woo! And as he spoke, this word came to him from God. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. And for 7 years he was cast out among the beasts. It says he roamed around with the oxen and with the beast as a wild man. It's like he had claws for fingers because he was probably trying to dig up roots to eat. There he was, king of this great nation, and yet he was taking all the glory. He was taking all the power. He was taking all. And don't we do that today? Don't we brag about what we've accomplished? Isn't that true of what we do? And you know what? When we do that, we're making ourselves no greater than a beast, because we're following the mind of the beast, which is Satan himself. And so God made him a beast. After 7 years, I love this little verse, it says that he came to himself. That has to come by God Almighty doing that. And Nebuchadnezzar lifted up his eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, who has dominion, whose dominion is everlasting dominion, and whose kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth is reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of the heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can say, why doeth thou? At this same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of the kingdom, my honor and brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my Lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and with excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, pray and exalt the King of heaven, all whose works are true in his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. So, why am I saying this? Because he is the one that lifts up and puts down whoever is in power. And of course, Romans chapter 13 also says that, and I love this. It's chapter 13. Let me read it. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God." No power. Almighty power. No power but of God. "The powers that be are ordained of God." All powers that be are ordained of God. How great. What a mighty God we serve. What an awesome God we serve. And He is all-knowing. Thank you, Jesus. When I don't know, He is all-knowing, and He knows. And how do I know that? Let's turn to Isaiah 46, chapter 46, verse 10. 46, verse 10. "He declares the end from the beginning." Oh, why? Because He's all-knowing. "And from ancient times, the things which are yet done, saying He, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." So He knows all things, and He predestines according to His will. Do you know what predestination, I think, has been misinterpreted to mean? Once God predestines it for us, that we have to walk in it and there is no other way. Well, look at it this way. Satan had a predestined future, but he refused his predestined place that God had given him and declared that he was going to take God's place. So he could not walk out God's predestined future for him. So how do we walk out God's predestined future for us? We receive Jesus Christ. We receive His nature. When we receive Him, we receive His predestination. And He predestines to cause us to be formed, conformed to His image. So that's how we fit into His predestined knowledge of all things. He's predestined his, we're always trying to come up with our own way, our own future, our own ideas of what we want to accomplish. And once we surrender to Almighty God, He will walk out and cause us to walk in His ways, in His will. And actually, it says it in Philippians, and I love this verse in Philippians. Can't you see that I do love the Bible? It says this, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, right, that sounds like, oh my gosh, it's hard work. I've got to work hard, do good, be good. No, we do not advocate any of that, and neither does the Bible. The Bible is simply saying, work out of you what's already in you. Christ is in you. Now just work it out. How? By faith. Because it says this, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you to will and do of His good pleasure." Oh my goodness. It is God that worketh in you. And that actually is verse 12 and 13. "For it is God that worketh in you." So people are saying, how can I have the will of God? You receive Jesus Christ. You've received the will of God in you. You trust Him. You walk with Him. You worship Him. You praise Him. You know Him. Because no man can know the Father except through the Son. God, Jesus declared that over and over again. No man can know the Father. But the Son knows Him, and the Father knows the Son. So knowing the Son, you will know the Father. The Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "What are you saying? You have a father that's different than us. Abraham is our father." And He says, "Oh no, he's not. If Abraham was your father, you would know what I was saying. And you don't know." This is John chapter 8. And then He says, "But you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you do." So you're not of God the Father. The only way to be of God the Father is to be in Jesus Christ. So there we go back again. You see, I think so many times that's being watered down, especially in our day and time, because people are rationalizing in their own thinking. Their rational minds have become their God. And they think that, well, there is no difference. We all have God. Whoever we worship, it's all God, and just calling by different names. That is a lie. That is the devil's deception that's permeating even our churches today. It grieves me. It really grieves me. If you want a booklet that I wrote about that, it's called There Must Be Heresies Among us. And that is a heresy. And that verse is in 1 Corinthians, and it means if the heresies are among us, then we can see the truth. So that's why we on Christ Our Life are continually bringing out truth, is because it, you compare it with those heresies. Those heresies will lead you down into the era of the Laodiceans, into lukewarmness, where you won't have any absolutes. You won't have any reality that's absolute outside of yourself, outside of your relative thinking, which is absolutely the era of lukewarmness. And Jesus says, I will spew you out of your mouth, out of my mouth, if you think and stand and believe in those lies. So God is independent, not depending on any other. He's totally a free being. He's the free being in all the universe. He is holy. That's in Revelations. I love that. The angels around the throne are saying, holy, 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 God Almighty. The 24 elders are crying, holy, 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 because he is totally holy. What is holiness? Holiness is pureness. It's not mixed with anything, any evil whatsoever. So if we are not holy, if we are walking in unholiness, it's only because we're mixed with lies and we have not received the full truth of who we are in Christ. And that's what we intend to bring forth, because Christ really is your holiness. If you can get a hold of that and grab a hold of that, you will be walking in holiness, because he is our holiness. So we can trust that, walk in that, and have faith in that. And God himself is the only self-sufficient person in the whole universe. He does not depend on any. Like I said earlier, the whole eternity, he inhabits the whole eternity, and he invades time with his very presence. He holds all things together by the word of his power. That's Hebrews 1:3. I love that. Let's read Hebrews, because we'll see there that in Jesus Christ is the manifested form of the Father. It says in verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory, and it's talking about the Son, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, whom he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, so the other day I was praying for a friend of mine who has a problem with her cervical, her neck. And I mean, it's the discs in her cervical neck are just really driving her crazy. I mean, she's got all kinds of pain and her muscles need to be built up. And as I was praying for her, and I said, God, Jesus holds together by his word everything in your neck, because by him everything consists. And we're calling healing into being, because he holds that together by his word. And we're calling his word of healing into your neck. And I thought, well, gosh, I had never prayed like that. The Spirit just brought that to me. So God, like I said, is spirit. John, in the chapter of John, John 4:24, Jesus said of himself, when the woman at the well said, where do we go to worship? What place do we go to? See, we're always trying to find an outer place. And Jesus says, oh, it doesn't matter what place there is, because God is spirit. And if we worship him, we must worship him in spirit and truth, and not in going to a local place. That might be something that we do. I'm not speaking against that, but that's not how we worship him, because we can worship him anywhere, anytime, because he's spirit and we are spirit. And God is love, because that's all he can be. All he can be is love. So all that he does is love. Even though it's hard love, it's still unconditional love. God is all wise. He has all the wisdom of the universe within him, and that was made in Jesus Christ. If we turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse, I see I'm running out of time. I don't want to be running out of time. It says this, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is our wisdom and knowledge. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Christ is made unto us wisdom. Christ is made unto us power. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:30, that Christ is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, redemption. So all the wisdom of God is centered in Jesus Christ. And he's unchangeable, the same yesterday, today, forever. He's sovereign. His sovereign will. He causes all things to work after his own sovereign will. Even the evil works together for his good. He is justice and mercy combined in one. He is a just God, but he's full of mercy. He sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is his mercy. It says, not by works of righteousness that we've been saved, but according to his mercy he saved us. And Jesus Christ is that mercy. So, let's end with this. God the Father expresses himself exclusively as the Son, Jesus Christ. And by a mystical union with redeemed humanity, he further expresses himself as us. Now, that's what we're going to go to next, man. So thank you for joining me. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.